all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wiscommon Sense from the shores of Lake Wissota, where it's another beautiful day up north. It's Monday, May 22nd, 47 degrees up here on the lake. And coming up on the program this morning, we're going to do some dot connecting. Some people do a better job than others of connecting the dots. As we looked at this weekend's headlines, we'll tell you how Senator Tammy Baldwin is connecting the dots between her work on behalf of veterans versus the plans by others in Congress to cut veterans' benefits. Others are not doing a great job of connecting the dots between the Republican threat to crash the national economy and the damage that it's already causing. We'll also talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly. We will talk about some dot connecting in Minnesota involving gig workers and the mega corporations who employ them, but then don't provide them proper pay and benefits because they say they aren't actually employees. Then it's Motherhood Monday. That's coming up at 7:30. We'll talk to the folks, Nicole and Kate from Motherhood for Good. And as part of May Mental Health Awareness Month, they also will welcome in the co-founder and executive director of the Moms Mental Health Initiative, which is dedicated to helping women who face issues during pregnancy and in the postpartum period. We'll tackle the stigma associated with having depression or doubts early in parenthood and discuss how to improve access to resources. And then tomorrow on the program, you've heard me mention the book, let me reach toward over here, several times now. It's called Milked by Ruth Conniff, who currently is with the Wisconsin Examiner, formerly the Progressive Magazine. Milked, How an American Crisis Brought Together Midwestern Dairy Farmers and Mexican Workers. An amazing book that you should read to better understand the topic of immigration, especially through a Wisconsin lens, especially through a Wisconsin dairy farming lens. And she will bring along a couple of folks, a farmer, and a person who works as a kind of a translator and a bridge between the Mexican laborers and the Wisconsin dairy farmers. And so all three of them will be my guests tomorrow for most of the 7 o'clock hour. Well, along the way today, of course, if you have any comments about what you're hearing on the show, want to ask any questions, the number to remember is 844-967-2789. And you should keep that number in mind and keep it handy because we are less than an hour away from giving away Milwaukee Brewers tickets. The Brewers are back home starting tonight for a series against the Houston Astros. And today we will have two tickets to tomorrow night's game at American Family Field. So you're going to want to stick around and be part of that. Aaron Zommers is at our studio in Madison all by himself in that walk-in closet that is all that remains of the old studio as a brand new state-of-the-art facility is constructed right off Capitol Square at the top of State Street. Do you even get to see that place, or do they just keep you in the closet there all the time and you're on like a need-to-know basis when they're ready to summon you to State Street?
Oh, I had to get a special form filled out to allow me to use the bathroom.
Seriously?
No, I get to see the place, and it's looking really good, and all the stuff that's already done is great. All the different offices that are put together. We would already be there if it weren't for the fact that the big production board was on back order because, just like everyone else, the company we're getting it from got hit by supply chain issues.
You know, it doesn't surprise me now that because of the other stories we've done, like talking about tractors. You know, that they're built here, but the control panels are built overseas and supply chain issues and automobiles and the other things that Tammy Baldwin was talking about with us a couple of weeks back in talking about the CHIPS Act and getting more of those microchips and microprocessors and things built here in the States so that we don't have those kinds of issues. But speaking of Senator Baldwin, she is going to be the guest in Wausau at Bull Falls Radio on the Chad Holmes program. Did you see that Chad, anticipating Senator Baldwin's visit tomorrow, actually went out and filled one of the big potholes in the radio station parking lot up there?
What a thoughtful guy and willing to get his hands dirty.
I mean, seriously, I've been to that station many times. I can definitely vouch for the parking lot, shall we say, needing some work. But for him to go out and do it is just, Aaron, I cannot possibly explain how lucky you are to be working for Civic Media and a guy like Sage, who is not your typical radio rat, because, I mean, you heard me and Terry Bell, and Terry Bell will be joining us later, talking about some of the disgusting jobs you have to do at small town radio stations and things like that. So it doesn't surprise me at all that filling potholes would be one of them. Totally unnecessary. But, you know, when you want to impress a U.S. senator, you do what you got to do.
Yeah, and we have a whole lot of people who just go above the extra mile without being asked.
Yeah, we are very lucky that way here, and I'm glad that folks do recognize that. The Up North News newsletter is out, comes out about 5 a.m. every day, and so I'm just pulling up what Christina Laurie put together for us here. And she talks about Pride Month and providing safe, affordable housing for LGBTQ seniors. There is a ranking of Wisconsin's safest cities and listing the 10 safest cities in Wisconsin based on this survey, and much more over at the Up North News daily newsletter. You can sign up for that at upnorthnewswi.com. Go to the top banner, click on newsletter, and you will be set. Otherwise, for anything that we're doing here, you can reach us radio at upnorthnewswi.com, because upnorthnewswi.com happens to be our website, or find us on social media. Just look for Up North News WI. All right, we've got some sports coming up, and then this morning's headlines and a theme of connecting the dots, all just ahead on Up North News Radio for this Monday. Quarter past six now on Monday morning. Welcome back. This is Up North News Radio. Sports now, your National League Central Division leading Milwaukee Brewers avoided a three-game sweep over the weekend by beating the Major League leading Tampa Bay Rays 6-4 on Sunday. That was thanks to home runs from Willie Adames, Rowdy Tellez, and William Contreras. For Adames, it came on the second anniversary of the trade that brought him from Tampa to Milwaukee, a trade which indirectly also led to Rowdy Tellez coming to the Brewers from Toronto. Owen Miller now has a 13-game hitting streak for the Brewers. Freddie Peralta is now 5-3 on the season. He went six innings, gave up three runs on five hits, and Devin Williams is now 7-7 in save chances. And so the Brewers, with that 25-21 record, continue to lead the NL Central. They are home this week for games Monday, Tuesday evenings, then Wednesday afternoon, and then San Francisco is here Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Reaching for my handy dandy paper brewer schedule here. There we go. It's still May, isn't it? There we go. Houston, yes, it is a Wednesday afternoon game. Then it's four games with San Francisco. There's no off day this week. So games Thursday and Friday evenings, and then Saturday and Sunday afternoons. And then a week from today, they'll be off before they head on the road again up to Toronto. And if you're watching the live video feed of this radio show on Facebook, you'll see written down below my face that you can win Brewers tickets by answering a Brewers trivia question at 6:50, and you could win two tickets to tomorrow night's game versus Houston. And if you were listening at all with any kind of attention in the past 2 minutes, I already gave you the answer to the trivia question. You can listen to the Brewers on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM throughout the Fox Valley, and over in Richland Center at News from the Center, 107.7 and 1450 AM. The NBA Finals, Bucks fans, you can feel a little bit better about that very stinging loss and elimination at the hands of the Miami Heat, the eighth seed, the team that had to win a play-in game just to even make the playoffs. They are now one game away from the NBA Finals. They are up 3-0 on the Boston Celtics. And then, meanwhile, the LA Lakers, who another eighth seed who made it to the conference final, they're on the verge of elimination. Denver's up 3-0 on them. And then I never mention golf here, but you have to mention the PGA Championship and this guy, Michael Block. He's just a local club pro, 46 years old from the San Francisco area, managed to qualify. And instead of like a lot of these qualifiers who, you know, are there Thursday and Friday, they don't make the cut, but, you know, you got the experience. No. He shot a 70 on Thursday and then a 70 on Friday. So he made the cut. And then he shot 70 again on Saturday and got paired with Rory McIlroy for Sunday. And he shot 70 again. That tied him for 15th place, the best finish by a club pro since 1986. And so this guy who charges $125 per golf lesson at his hometown club just pocketed about $300,000 and just won the crowd over with his humility. He was stunned at being told that he was being paired up with Rory on Sunday. And by the way, got a hole in one on the par 3 15th. He didn't just get a hole in one. He dunked it. It went up. It came down right into the cup. No bouncing, no rolling, no nothing. Just an electric moment. No, I don't watch golf, but I couldn't help but see that on social media and go right back to the replay. And then the replay of him talking at the, you know, the news conference, and just, you know, certainly seems like a great guy getting to compete and take a lot of attention at the PGA Championship. Oh, I should, you know, Brooks Koepka actually won, but since he now competes in what ought to be known as the Al-Qaeda Golf League, sponsored by the Saudis, we're not really going to get into his matter today. All right, again, a reminder, our phone number here is 844-967-2789. As we get into some headlines, you can react to them, vent a little about them, share what else is on your mind with the statewide radio audience. We'd love to hear from you. So as we connect the dots, we're going to talk about Tammy Baldwin, connecting the dots on veterans' health versus using veterans as budget pawns. National press still not connecting the dots on the debt limit and the multiple times that this kind of partisan temper tantrum has upended U.S. diplomatic efforts to offset rising Chinese influence. We'll have a little history lesson in just a minute here. And on a different matter closer to the American workforce, lawmakers in one neighboring state are finally connecting the dots when it comes to the so-called gig workers and the mega corporations who try to obfuscate the dots and claim that they don't have to treat gig employees as well as direct employees. All right, as for Senator Baldwin, she is seeing what's happening in Washington and isn't missing a beat, announcing over the weekend that she's going to be touring the state and that the tour is going to have a theme. The theme is the Delivering for Our Veterans Tour, and it's going to highlight her work to support Wisconsin veterans, expand healthcare services, protect the benefits that veterans have earned, and then fight to expand veterans' services. Senator Baldwin will be holding a series of roundtable discussions around the state, talking about her work to increase healthcare and disability benefits for veterans, especially those who have been harmed by toxic exposure while serving in the military, most notably those burn pits that were used overseas that spewed toxic fumes and have sickened and killed many of the people who put on the uniform of this country. And no doubt we'll contrast that to the votes by every Republican member of the House delegation, Brian Stile and Mike Gallagher and Glenn Grothman and Scott Fitzgerald and Derek Van Orden and Tom Tiffany, all voted to slash veterans' benefits. And when they tell you they didn't, and when they say that's a lie, explain to them how math works and that cutting veterans' benefits is not specifically forbidden in the bill they voted for, calling for massive budget cuts that, by the way, did not cut a penny of the 2017 tax cuts for the very wealthy. So Senator Baldwin will be talking about that today in New Richmond, tomorrow in Wausau, when she will also be on the Chad Holmes Show from 2 to 4 in the afternoon, then Wednesday in Green Bay, and Thursday in Racine. And so if you have any doubts about where Senator Baldwin stands versus the aforementioned Republican congressman and their votes against veterans, you can learn more at the Delivering for Our Veterans tour that Senator Baldwin is doing this week. So while she's connecting the dots on who's taking care of veterans and who's just full of hot air, I have a classic example of an inability to connect dots that somebody is putting right in front of themselves. And specifically, I'm talking about the Washington Post and an editorial that they had on Sunday about the debt ceiling. I am really glad I got that hot plate for this cup of coffee. You will no longer hear me complain about ice cold coffee here between paragraphs. So the Washington Post put in an editorial in the Sunday paper about something we've mentioned here, President Biden having to cut short his trip to Asia. He went to the G7 summit, but there were two other big stops that had real diplomatic purposes to them. And he's had to cut that short to come back to Washington. Today, he's going to sit down with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. They're going to smile for the camera, and they're going to go through all this performative stuff that Republicans are making him go through on the debt ceiling, something that they approved time after time under President Trump and under other Republican presidents. But as you're about to find out, what they're doing here is not the first time they've done it to a Democratic president, and not the first time that they've undermined U.S. diplomacy in Asia. But here's the thing. Here's the Washington Post editorial headline. Biden had to cancel his Asia trip. Now he needs to repair the damage. I'm sorry, he needs to repair the damage? Well, technically that's true. He's the president. But the headline doesn't tell you who actually caused the damage. The Washington Post gets at it in the copy, but they can't bring themselves to actually connect the dots. So allow me to read some excerpts here from it. The cancellation sends the wrong message at a time in which the United States seeks to compete with China across the region. Mr. Biden will have to make up for his absence if and when House Republicans allow the president to focus on pressing matters of national importance rather than gratuitous partisan feuds. So they do note if and when House Republicans allow the president to focus on these matters. So they understand there's a dot that they're putting right there. They go on to write, President Xi Jinping has visited the Pacific Islands three times already as China aggressively pushes to expand its influence through trade and infrastructure projects. China is also looking to expand its military presence by signing new security pacts. Having to postpone the long-planned trip to deal with an avoidable Republican-created debt ceiling crisis instead showcases the current dysfunction in the U.S. political system. At a time when Xi is openly touting the supposed superiority of the Chinese model of governance, the United States looks diminished simply for the president not showing up. And at least with the president not showing up, they again note it's a Republican-created debt ceiling crisis. But now we get to the history lesson. This is not the first time pressing demands at home have forced a U.S. president to cancel or cut short visits to the Asia-Pacific region, often convincing its leaders, unfairly or not, that Asia remains a back burner in terms of U.S. priorities. President Bill Clinton in 1995 had to cancel a planned trip to a summit of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum in Japan because of a budget battle with Republicans that led to a government shutdown. And then President Barack Obama in 2013 had to cancel a trip to Indonesia and Brunei to deal with a debt limit crisis and government shutdown. These cancellations, the Washington Post writes, similarly raise concerns in Asia about the United States' steadfastness and commitment. Mr. Biden, like his predecessors, is finding himself hostage to events and conflicts elsewhere, not only abroad but sadly at home, in the form of manufactured crises such as the debt ceiling impasse. As long as partisan extremism rather than reason drives Washington decision-making, Biden and every other president might struggle to give the Asia-Pacific region the attention it requires. To the Washington Post editors, I would say it out loud. Don't say, as long as partisan extremism. Say it. Say Republican extremism. Because right now, folks here back home believe that both sides are equally bad. In a headline like that, and most of that copy, only reinforces that bad information. Be honest with your readers so that your readers know it's not the system that's broken. It's one of our parties that is failing the everyday Americans who want a center-right party, not a far-right party, helping to run the country. But instead, for the third time, under three different Democratic presidents, gee, what a coincidence, suddenly the debt limit is a big deal, forces the cancellation of a trip, and reduces our influence in a region and lets China thrive. We'll be back with Kristen Lyerly and much more after this. You're up north.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
When last we left things with Kristen Lyerly, she was not in the room when we were talking about her, but we on Friday morning mentioned that she got a mention in the state's largest newspaper because she's, again, either the subject of rumors or spreading rumors or listening to Fleetwood Mac's rumors, whatever the case may be. So I did promise, Kristen, I promised the listeners Friday morning that when you were here at 6:33 Monday morning, I'd say good morning. And then anything new? Anything you want to tell us? Anything that, any decisions you're weighing, perhaps?
Not too much. Nope.
Somebody's just going to leave us hanging here as we as we mentioned that you are mulling out loud a potential run for Congress in the 8th District, which, again, is a – there's a long ways to go, but I recall being in that similar position. Oh, my gosh, it was 12 years ago now. Where does the time go? And, you know, you get pulled in every which way. People talk about time. They talk about budget. They talk about this and that. So I imagine your head spins a little from time to time as you think things over.
Head spinning is not new for me, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That's a little inside joke for those of you who know that I was a mascot who spun her head.
Oh, it's the.
Did you know that?
Yes, uh-huh. Yes.
Remember that? Mascot.
Did you spun your head?
That's Goldie's signature trick is spin your head.
Oh, seriously? Like,
oh yeah.
Like, it sounds like a horror movie trick. Okay, well.
No, it's great. Okay. It's so much fun. Like the band, the mascot. I don't want to get distracted by this, but you know. Continued at a different time. But you're right. I mean, everybody has something that they want to share, some advice that they want to give. But ultimately, when you think about your life path and what's important to you and what kind of change you want to see in the world, when I ran for assembly in 2020, it wasn't because I desperately wanted to serve in the Wisconsin Assembly. It was because COVID was happening. And clearly the legislature was not reflecting the will of the people. And it made me feel really frustrated and angry. So I thought maybe a physician could win in the middle of a pandemic, but we're so gerrymandered and the messaging and so many other reasons that it didn't work. So when that was over, I wasn't done. Like, it wasn't about the seat. It was about making change. So I got involved with Fair Maps and worked with this incredible Fair Maps Coalition. We talked with Carlene last week, who just retired from that organization. And it was, you know, bringing people together, recognizing that people really did want Fair Maps. They wanted fair representation. And of course, we're still fighting for that. And then getting behind Judge Janet, making sure that the Supreme Court is fair and balanced. All of those things are opportunities to engage and get people excited and get people out and helping them use their voices. So this is something that has been floating around in the back of my head for a while. Is there a role for me in Congress where I can be a doctor, help doctors, help patients? Our healthcare system is failing us. It's not just abortion. It's not even nearly just abortion. I mean, everybody has a healthcare story where they've been charged too much, or they feel like they haven't been properly taken care of, or they can't access the medication or the care that they need. Our healthcare system is so fundamentally broken. So is that the right pathway for me. And that's the decision that I really need to make right now. So no, I don't have an announcement, but I absolutely am mulling it over and just trying to figure out the right spot.
What are you talking about? You haven't, that whole thing was an announcement of just how we need people, how we need people involved. We need people to care. And along those lines, mm-hmm. when you talked about running, you know, for assembly in 2020, so did our mutual friend Kirk Bangstead from the Minocqua Brewing Company. Yeah. And I made the drive out to Minocqua on Friday as he had basically a belated victory party for the Judge Janet Protasiewicz victory for winning that seat on State Supreme Court. And Jacobs from the Wisconsin Elections Commission was there and gave some remarks. And I gotta say, most of the remarks were about local elections officials that you and I are both familiar with. These mm-hmm. are people who, by and large, are volunteers. You know, there's a clerk and some staff, but then a lot of volunteers. And what people go through to serve, not just as a Democratic candidate or a Republican candidate, but as either a volunteer or an employee of an efficient, you know, election system. I mean, it really makes you feel good about the state, knowing so many people want to serve in some way, shape, or form.
I think there are a lot of people who want to serve, but they don't really know what that pathway is. They don't understand what, in what capacity they could get involved. And you're right, Pat. I mean, elections require an incredible number of volunteers. And here in Wisconsin, our elections are so decentralized, which is great because we know that because they're locally controlled, they're safe. They're well run, and they're run by people who truly care about the outcomes of these elections.
And yet some of the folks in the crowd there talked about the same thing that Ann talked about, the threats that she got as a member of the Elections Commission. Some of these folks did as well, not to the same level necessarily, but that people who for years or decades looked at them as just, you know, their friendly neighbor who works, you know, at the polls, now suddenly they were like lobbying conspiracy accusations against them that, you know, were just so unfair, so beyond the pale, so unfounded. And it is scaring other people away, but it is, much like it did for you and Kirk, also making other people say, hey, I need to step up and serve because, you know, we clearly need good people filling all these different roles.
And that's how we change it. And I have to say, the momentum that has me thinking about potentially running also has other people thinking about running. So our executive team met yesterday, the executive team for the 8th Congressional District. We're looking at all the state seats in the district. And people are stepping up. We don't know what the voting lines are going to be. It is entirely possible that they could change, but we've got a plan and we've got potential candidates in almost every single one of those 23 seats in our district that are on the ballot. And not only do we have candidates, but we have people stepping up to say, I'm not ready to be a candidate or that's not my bag, but I want to help with your social media. I'm a lawyer and I'd love to be able to help behind the scenes. I'm an accountant and I could be somebody's treasurer. There are places for all of us to step up and participate in our democracy at our own speed. It's so exciting.
It is. It's reassuring. And you know, I talked to people over the weekend. I was up river here at the Mallard Resort and talked to this young couple where, again, you've got somebody, the fellow I talked to, you know, works in vehicle sales. And he says, look, I'm a Republican, but I don't understand why everybody is, you know, fighting the why is everything so polarized. And it's like I said a few minutes ago, in the last segment that, you know, you and I both have Republican friends who what they want is they want a center right party. They don't want a far right party. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what would get folks, you know, more involved rather than having people pulling them, you know, to the extreme notion that they are. But we'll get back into more of the politics in a bit here. I already told you the highlight of my weekend was going up river and, you know, having a couple of beers with folks only after a lot of house and yard work. What'd you do?
Oh my gosh, it was party central around here. All of the boys had parties. We had a big wedding, which was fabulous. we had drum recitals. I mean, we packed a lot into this weekend. And frankly, I'm a little tired this morning.
I'm so tired. I really should have queued up Madeline Kahn from Blazing Saddles. I'm so tired. There was a massive brush pile for me to take care of, all kinds of buckthorn to take a whack at. But the best part was the boat is in. I haven't actually taken it out of the boat lift yet, but I scrubbed that baby, you know, top to bow to stern. I guess I should use the nautical terminology. That thing is ready so that when one of our daughters and you know, her family comes out this weekend, we will be ready for a great Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, now your Memorial Day weekend, well, it probably won't be as fun as this past weekend, I would imagine. You're probably, I'm going to guess you're working.
I am working up in Hibbing, but I will be on my way through. So maybe a quick little spin on Lake Wissota on Thursday. What do you say?
I will be here. I will have my captain's hat ready. If I had a captain's hat.
I have a captain's hat. I'll bring it.
Well, there you go. I don't know if Aaron might have taken this. He sometimes steps away when we prattle on like this, but weren't you just talking to him about Beer Fest? Oh, he is there. Aaron, you went to Beer Fest this weekend.
Yeah, on Sunday, so yesterday, I went to Rowland's annual Beer Fest in Chilton, and they've got a bunch of different, I guess, sheds or farm buildings set up with craft breweries represented there, bringing all kinds of different beers. Got a polka band, of course.
Yeah,
it was a good time.
That's awesome.
I had fun, but not too much fun.
Uh-huh. And you, there may have been beer sampling.
A little bit, you know.
A little bit.
Yeah. And there's some really good beer, but most of the really good stuff I had is stuff that I've already had, like Stone Arch from Appleton. Mm-hmm. They had their Scottish Ale there. That one's really good.
Oh, I love that one.
I did have a chocolate oatmeal stout. I'm a big fan of oatmeal stout, so that was really good. Mm-hmm. However, there's one beer they have there every year. That's a dill pickle beer, and I made the mistake of having that right after the chocolate oatmeal stout. That was not a good combination.
No. Okay. Well, lesson learned. So, although I don't know what is the proper thing to have before a dill pickle beer, you know,
a bite of a hot dog,
I guess.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe that's it. Kristen, we're going to get into a bit of a preview of Motherhood Monday in our next hour and talk about mom's mental health issues. But before I do that, I know that you've been working in Minnesota. There's a lot that the Minnesota legislature has been doing. And our theme this hour has been on connecting the dots. And we talked about Tammy Baldwin connecting the dots between caring for veterans versus using them as pawns. We talked about connecting the dots on this debt ceiling hostage situation and how it's, you know, undermining U.S. relations with our Asian Pacific allies. But I also want to get to something in Minnesota, something that passed over the weekend. The legislature met because their session, they're not full time. Their session ends today. And so they're trying to get everything in there. And they addressed the gig economy for Uber and Lyft drivers to make sure that in Minnesota, if Governor Tim Walz signs this bill, they will get a minimum wage and they will get other benefits because, you know, and I bring this up because, you know, your boys, my girls could just as easily in this new labor force, they could be gig employees. And that really, in my mind, is so often it's an excuse to misclassify a worker and not let them get the benefits that they deserve. The Minnesota bill would pay drivers for Uber and Lyft $1.45 per mile when they drive a passenger, a little less outside the Twin Cities, plus 34 cents a minute. It requires additional transparency about how drivers' earnings are calculated. But Kristen, this is the thing that really gets me. Uber said a minimum wage would force them to increase their prices for riders, which is funny because last year I looked it up, Uber's CEO made $24.3 million, and I don't recall him asking to be paid less or the company would have to raise its prices. So, again, when you get back over to Hibbing, I'm sure folks will be talking about, you know, that in both ways. But from my standpoint, somebody's finally looking out for gig employees because that's something that's only going to grow in all parts of the workforce, I'm sure.
Yeah, this is just one example. And it's one example of some of the great work that's happening in Minnesota right now, where they have a functional government and they're able to have these conversations to actually pass legislation that benefits people and ensures that the people have enough money, have the resources, have the childcare, have what they need to be able to live meaningful lives. It's really inspirational, I have to say, watching from the cheap seats over here in the East. It's such a joy to see what's happening and to feel like we could do that too.
Oh, and to see Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss put up a post over the weekend about how, you know, people are going to be packing up moving vans and moving to Wisconsin when they see all, you know, all that the Minnesota legislature is doing this year. And he's just got dunked on so often with people saying, are you looking at trends at all the people Wisconsin's losing to Minnesota because of, you know, the progressive nature of the legislation? The moving vans are just going to keep going that way if Wisconsin doesn't turn things around.
But to be fair, from his perspective, as a childless old white guy who's been married three times, who probably cares. I mean, I'm not saying that to be disparaging, yep. But what?
I'm just going to say we have a commercial in 10 seconds.
He cares about taxes more than people.
There you go. All right, we'll be back with more in just a moment. You're up north. All right, it's time for a little history lesson and music break to get your school week started. The Rolling Stones album Sticky Fingers hit number one on this day, May 22nd, 1971. Brown Sugar Bean, arguably the biggest hit off of that one. Also in history, the Trevi Fountain in Rome was officially completed and inaugurated on this day in 1762. Either one of you been to Rome to see this storied fountain?
I have not.
No?
Nope.
I've been to Rome. I think the bus went past it, you know, briefly. It was one of those cruise ship excursions. We were on our way someplace else. So, like, they quickly pointed out, there's that. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure the phone was one of them.
I smell a road trip.
To Rome?
Sure.
Sure, a show trip. I'm sure that's in the budget. I'll check with Sade. songwriting legend Bernie Taupin, a longtime songwriting partner with Elton John, is 73 today. Johnny Gill is 57. A couple of these songs, they don't have staying power in terms of like the lyrics. Brown Sugar has lyrics that are such that the Rolling Stones dropped it from their concert playlist. They don't play it in shows anymore. And you're not going to hear a song like this much on the radio anymore. The number one hit this day in 1961 from Ernie K. Doe.
Mother-in-law. 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 The worst person I know.
Yeah, you're not going to hear that.
No. Oh, jeez.
No.
It's pretty good, though.
It was a different time. It was a different time for a long time. And thankfully,
for those of you who couldn't see Aaron's face, that was beautiful.
It is a different time that we live in. Yes. Let's see. What else do we have going on here? Oh, the Lewis and Clark expedition officially began as a group departed from St. Charles, Missouri. You know how we talk about the history of Australia? We always seem to talk about how when it was a British colony, the Brits would send prisoners all the way to Australia. That practice ended on this day in 1840 after about 60 years of sending convicts to what is now the province of New South Wales. The Beatles' eighth number one song hit the charts this day in 1965. Ticket to Ride. On this day in 1906, the Wright brothers were granted a patent for their flying machine that later became known as the airplane. And finally, back to Sir Paul McCartney. He had the number one song on this day in 1976. So speaking of 1976, I was listening yesterday to a playback of American Top 40 from this week in 1976. Of course I was, because, you know, I was in sixth grade. Life was good for me. And Casey starts off the countdown saying that this countdown is special because more than half of the artists in the top 40 that week not only had charted previously, but more than half the artists had a number one hit previously. So, I mean, this was a very talent-heavy countdown. And so sometimes when I think back and go, you know, some of these years were just the best years in music, like 1976. Apparently, there's a reason why. There were some talented people back then. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I would say so. Let's see. Roger, one of our regular listeners and viewers on Facebook, says, if you played in the street and yelled car when a vehicle was coming, you had an awesome childhood. And he's right. I mean, some people called it like flashlight tag. Mm-hmm. There were other ways, other variations on it. And you always played it right up until that moment that somebody stopped their car and get out and said, you kids, you know, and you didn't want
to. Those were the nights when you didn't have to be home when the streetlights came on.
Yeah. Summers were just, they were so awesome that way. Oh, where are my manners? Some of you folks are hanging around waiting to see if you can win Brewers tickets. So let's do that right now. 844-967-2789. I already gave you the answer earlier this hour. Who traded Willy Adames to the Milwaukee Brewers? It was 2 years ago this weekend. First person who can answer that and wants to go to the game and can have tickets emailed to them and hasn't won within the past 30 days. If you qualify for all that and you want to get some great seats, two tickets for tomorrow night's game, 844-967-2789, the first person who can tell us who traded Willy Adames to the Milwaukee Brewers. So while Aaron works the phones on that, Kristen and I are going to talk about how in the next hour we will get into Mental Health Awareness Month. And in this case, the folks from Motherhood for Good, Kate and Nicole, are going to be bringing on Sarah Ornst Bloomquist from the Moms Mental Health Initiative, dedicated to helping women who face issues during pregnancy and the postpartum period. And I'm sure, Kristen, that one of the topics that we'll discuss, it's a little uncomfortable, but, you know, motherhood, especially new motherhood, it's not Norman Rockwell, you know, for everybody. It's confusing. What? It's scary. It's depressing. Well, no, other people look and there is a stigma attached. Like, how are you not having the best time ever? And that's not how this works.
Natalie Eilbert just wrote an incredible piece in the Green Bay paper. I think it's in the Milwaukee paper as well.
I have it open in front of me right here. Yes.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. And it talks about exactly that. I mean, we think that it's this blissful, beautiful time, but the truth is, especially for women who have pre-existing mental health conditions like depression and anxiety, which is very common these days, the postpartum period is a very difficult time for many, many people. And complicating that is a lack of resources, a lack of training, a lack of access to medications. So it is really a very difficult time for many moms. And I love that we're shining a light on this and making it more acceptable to recognize that, hey, things aren't this, you know, mythical thing. My life is not the way that I was expecting it to be, because that's just not reality.
No, it's not. And so in a convergence of our guest coming up and Natalie Albert's story, her story begins with Sarah Ornst Bloomquist, who writing that when she gave birth to her first child, the thought that immediately came to mind scared her. The thought was, put him back. She knew her reaction was way off, but the apprehension wouldn't ease. Anxiety kicked in, so debilitating and relentless, she could hardly care for her newborn son. And obviously, this is now something that she's dedicated a chunk of her life to. And again, just to make sure that women know that they are not alone in this.
And to talk about the stats, over 700 women a year die related to pregnancy or the postpartum period. And most of those deaths are preventable. And most of them are associated with treatable mental health conditions.
And that's where, again, if we were to expand Badger Care, and so that Medicaid covered women, it only kicks in or lasts for so long, right? Like the 6 weeks postpartum or something like that. And there's talk of expanding it to a year postpartum, but we're not there yet.
Right. 6 weeks. And we got it kind of expanded. We got permission to expand it a little bit with last year's budget. And the push now is to expand it for a full year, because when the baby comes out, the pregnancy isn't over.
All right. More about that at 7:30 coming up. You're up north.